First, we see God's attitude towards us. The Bible says that God so loved the world. If you have your handout with you this morning, under the first point, I put for you 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, if you'll just take a look at that. The Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Now notice what the Bible says. "Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The way that word propitiation, it means it was an offering that God gave for you and God gave for me. It was an offering that appeases God, appeases the wrath of God. A propitiation is something that's offered for an offense. And you notice it says there that God, He manifested His love toward us. For God so loved the world. You see, God loves us unconditionally. And that's a wonderful thought. He loves you and He loves me unconditionally. It's not based upon your merit. It's not based upon who you, what you can do for God. In other words, it's not as if He looked upon all of humankind, all of mankind, and it's not as if He approved of us and He approved of our character. It's not as if He said, "You know, those earthlings are pretty good people, and I'm going to go and die for their sins." No, the reality is this, that God looked upon us and He said, "You know, those are very sinful people, and I'm going to die and pay for their sins despite that." See, God loves us unconditionally. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God loves you. God cares for you. It's an unconditional love. His love for you and His love for me, it's not based upon anything that we can do. It's not based upon merit. It's an unconditional love. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In essence, He looks at you in the very worst that you could possibly be, and He says still, "I love you. I care for you." And in John 3:16, when the Bible says, "For God so loved," that word there, "so," is an important word. If you really read it, you could read it this way: "For God so loved you." It's as if, husbands, you turn to your wife and you say, "Honey, I am so in love with you." Or wives turn to their husbands and say, "Honey, I am so in love with you." I bet you, ladies, you probably said that to your husbands this morning, didn't you? But He is. It's an unconditional love. He loves you. He loves you just for who you are. Cares for you. That's why God sent His Son into the world for you. The Bible reminds us of that. For God so loved the world. And it was the love that He... The Bible says it's not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. You see, the reality, all people are born into this world sinful. They're not born into this world attracted to the things of God. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save them which were lost. And the Bible reminds us that we are all lost. We're lost in our sin. We're born that way into this world. But He loves us unconditionally. That's the attitude of God. And then we're reminded too in this verse that the attitude is not only a unconditional attitude of love for God, that God has for us, but the love that He has for us is eternal. It's a never-ending love. It's forever. And God's love for us, not only is it forever and never-ending, but it's new and it's fresh and it's just as vibrant today as it will be tomorrow. See, God's love doesn't waver back and forth. It's always full. It's always vibrant and fresh. And He never will fall out of love with you. It's an eternal love. He cares for you. That's the attitude that God has. In fact, in the Bible, the Bible says that God is love. It's the essence of God. He loves you. He cares for you. John 3:16 reminds us of that. Despite ourselves. But then we're reminded of the actions of God. See, one of the wonderful things about God is He didn't just tell us that He loved us. He showed us that He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. On your handout is Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says that He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We saw God in action when God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. God took upon Himself the form of humanity. Jesus was born in a cradle, destined 33 years later to go to a cross. God showed us through the life of Christ just how much that He cared for us and just how much that He loved us. He loved us personally. And when I said on my handout this subpoint, He loves us personally, I don't mean necessarily you personally, although He does love you personally. I meant the personality of God loves you. Personally, He loves you. Personally, He knows everything about you. The Bible says that God knows the very numbers of hairs upon your head. The Bible says that God knows all about your thoughts. The Bible says that God knows all of your hurts and all of your needs and everything that's taking place in your life. He personally cares for you. For God so loved the world that He gave. It displayed the depth of His love, the personality of God. He took part in our salvation. He took part in paying the price that only He could pay for you and I to have eternal life. That's why Jesus came into the world. It wasn't the angels that died for your sins. It wasn't the prophets that died for your sins. It wasn't the apostles that died for your sins. It was Jesus Christ. He came into the world to die and pay for your sin. And God, the God of love, showed us the manifestation of His love when He went to the cross. He loves us personally. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, to redeem us. And that's what He did. That's why Christmas is all about. It's about the Savior coming into the world to die and pay for the sins of the world. Because He personally cares for you. Then John 3:16 reminds us of this also, that He loves us not only personally, and He showed us that in those actions, but collectively. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said He loves the world. You know, there's not a person in this world that God doesn't love, that God doesn't care for. There's not a person in this world that God does not extend the hand of love and mercy and grace. The whole world. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that God should taste death for every man. The Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. The actions of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to die and pay for your sins. He showed us how much He loved us. It's a gift. It's a free gift. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift that He extends to all mankind. But then He says to all mankind, while I extend this gift of eternal life, you choose. You decide. If you want to put your faith and trust in what I've done for you on the cross, you choose. It's the miracle of love. So God displays to us His attitude and declares His attitude in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And then He displays His actions. That God gave His only begotten Son. Christ came into the world for a purpose and for a reason. And then we see God's atonement. The word atonement, it means to atone for our sins. You see, as much as God is a loving God, God is also a righteous God. And God cannot accept sin. There has to be a payment for sin. There's a price for sin. And the Bible says that Jesus went to the cross to pay that price. It is a price that is so great that you and I could never pay for it. We couldn't go to church enough. We couldn't give enough. We couldn't be religious enough. We couldn't read our Bibles enough. We couldn't pray enough. We couldn't do enough to pay for our sin. The debt is just too great. It's just too great. But God sent His Son Jesus Christ to atone and to pay for our sin. Galatians 4:1 says, "Who gave Himself for our sin, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Christ came for you to deliver you, to be your satisfaction. So we're reminded that the miracle of love was displayed sacrificially. He gave. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's only through your faith in Jesus Christ can your sins be atoned for. That's the only way. And He sacrificed Himself on the cross. And then He loves us effectually. And what I mean by that is this. Only Christ had the ability to pay for our sin. Only by putting our faith and trust in what Christ has done for us on the cross can our sins be forgiven. You know, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Only because Christ was the God-man. He was holy. The whole point of the virgin birth was the Christ child being born into this world as holy, as righteous, He who was without sin. You know, in verse 17 of our text, it said this, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Only Christ could save us because He was the Son of God. God became a man to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Romans says, "Therefore then there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." This Christmas season, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? We know God's attitude. He loves us. He cares for us. And we see His actions. We saw His actions 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born in that manger. As I said already, He was destined to go to the cross for us. And there on the cross, all of my sin and all of your sin was placed upon Him. And He was buried. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, victorious over sin and over death. And He extends to you the gift of salvation. He extends to you the free gift. He says, "If you'll put your faith and trust in what I've done for you, I'll receive you and I'll give you eternal life." Do you know Him that way this morning? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know Him personally? Let's bow our heads for just a moment, would you? Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, you might be here this morning and you say, "Well, you know what, Pastor Malchuk, I've heard that before, but, you know, I've just done too much. I've been too great a sinner. I don't really think that God loves me. I'm telling you that He does. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Or maybe you've heard this message before and it became kind of, well, I've heard it so many times. But the point is, what about Christ? Do you know Him? Have you called upon Him to be your Savior? This morning He's reaching out to you, telling you, I love you. I showed you how much I love you. I paid for your sins. I atoned for your sins. And if by faith, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right where you sit this morning, you can call out and you could say, Lord, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe, Jesus, that you died and you paid for my sin. And today, if I've never done that before, today I call upon Christ to be my Savior. Today I put my trust in Him. Today I put, Lord, my trust in you and what you did for me. For God so loved the world, He loved you. You could put your name in that spot. For God so loved, whatever your name is, that He gave His only begotten Son for you, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came to save you. Right now, in the quietness of the moment, call upon Jesus. Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I believe, Jesus, that you died and you paid for my sin. And today I want to place my faith and trust in what you did for me on the cross. It's just a simple prayer of faith. Jesus said it's so simple that a child can understand it. We make it so often we make it more complicated than it needs to be. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, maybe you're here and this morning you called upon Jesus in your heart. You say, you know what? I never did that, but this morning I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You do this, I'm not going to point you out or I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but I would like to be praying for you to grow in the faith. Today, in the quietness of the moment, you called upon Jesus to be your Savior. You just slip up your hand and put it down real quick. Today I ask Christ to be my Savior. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. I'd never done that before, but today I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I put my trust in what He did for me on the cross and nothing else. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, as you remind us during this Christmas season why you came into the world to be our Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.